Grace and peace to you from God our Father, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that comes from heaven, who knew you and chose you before the world began, who loves you so much he calls you his own children, who has brought you from darkness into light and filled you with his glorious power, who has prepared an inheritance for you that will never spoil or fade, who encourages and strengthens you in every good deed and word, who comforts you in your troubles so that you can comfort others. This is our God, the ultimate source of all things, and the one for whom we live. Let us worship together. As I see that there are a few guests here today, I'd like to welcome everybody who's here. And if you'd like to stand, if you're here for parent-child dedication, just so we know who's all visiting and who's supporting today. Welcome. And now we will move on to some announcements. I'm just going to quickly highlight a couple announcements. First, and probably most importantly, number two of our announcements, July 9th will be the Sunday that Marvin Thiessen will be speaking at NKMC as a candidate for the lead pastor position. And in your bulletins, there's an insert with some information about that weekend, and then also some information about Marvin on the other side. And I'd also like to highlight announcement number six. that we'd like to take some pictures from our first annual Show and Shine to put on the website. So if anyone has some pictures from that they could send in, that would be great. And now we'd like to move on to some time of sharing. If anyone has anything that they would like to share, please just raise their hand and we can have a microphone brought to them.
Leonora Weeb here. I would just like to share with you that come Tuesday, June 27th, I will be going for surgery to get my gallbladder out that's been plaguing me. So this is laparoscopic surgery. It's for one day only, but I do request your prayers that it may be successful. Thank you.
Thanks. We'll keep you in our prayers.
Good morning. My name's Howard Epp. I'm here with my visiting mother, Sarah, and I'm going to ask her to stand, please. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that everybody had a chance. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for sharing. And now we would like to move in to a time of prayer. If everyone would please bow their heads and join me in prayer. Almighty God of all creation, we join our voices to praise you today, singing of your wonders, giving thanks for your grace and your care, and celebrating the joys of life you have blessed us with. Family and friends, new relationships and deeper relationships, new life and transformed lives, reconciliation and restoration. On this day, we are especially grateful for the gifts of fathers, the gifts of being a father, and the fathers we miss. We thank you for the many ways that our fathers have shaped us, for their example and their love. Yet we also pray for those who have painful relationships with their fathers, those who are estranged from their fathers, and fathers who are estranged from their children. And God, we pray for those who are unwilling or unable to accept the responsibilities of fatherhood. Be with all of us on this day, and embrace us with your love. Amen.
Good morning. Would you join me in singing number 363 out of the Blue Hymnal, Renew Your Church, and we will sing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
And now if the children could all please come forward, Rachel has a children's story today.
Good morning. You guys can come sit a little closer. Come sit a little closer over here. I've got something I'll need your help with in a bit. So you can come sit a little closer. I don't bite, I promise. Awesome. So who can tell me what today is? Father's Day. Very good. So you guys like your dads? They're pretty cool. Yeah. Are your dads perfect? Yeah? Your dads are perfect? My dad sure isn't perfect. He's not here, so I can say that. But you made breakfast for your dad. That's a great thing to do on Father's Day. Well, I think that most dads, just like most people, actually all people, aren't perfect. But dads do really good things. But do you know which dad is perfect? Yours? Other than your dad, I'm going to say that God, who's our Heavenly Father, is perfect. Now, do your dads give you lots of stuff? Yeah, they do. Do you ever ask your dad for stuff? Yeah? What kind of stuff do you ask your dads for?
I ask my dad to get down the Play-Doh.
To get down the Play-Doh, yeah? Do you guys ever ask your dads for treats?
Yeah.
Yeah, for treats? Okay, that's good. And do your dads usually give you treats?
I go,
sometimes, that's good. You go out with your dad at Halloween and get lots of treats. That's great. Okay, so dads aren't perfect, but they like to give us good stuff like treats. Now, I need a volunteer. Can I have a volunteer? Perfect. Can you stand up here for a second? Okay, so we're going to do a little experiment here. Can you ask me for something, for maybe for some food?
Can you ask me for food? Can you just say, can I have a snack?
Can I have a snack?
Sure, you can have a snack. Here you go. Now, what did I give you? What does that look like to you? Is it a cookie? I don't think it's a cookie. Yeah, I think it's a rock. So I gave you a rock. You asked me for a cookie and I gave you a rock instead. That's no good, right? So even though you think your dad would give you a rock if you asked for a cookie? No, your dad wouldn't give you a rock if he asked for a cookie. He knows better than that. Thank you so much. You can sit down. So even though most of our dads aren't perfect, and they make mistakes sometimes, they know better than to give us a rock when we ask for a cookie. And so, just so like we can count on our dads to give us good stuff, we can count on God, who is our Heavenly Father, even more to give us good things and when we ask for them, and He'll give us everything that we need. Okay, so let's say a prayer, and then you can go down for Sunday school, I think. Nope, staying in the service, so you can go back to your parents. Okay. Dear God, thank you for dads and for giving us all the good things that we need. We ask that today especially you would bless dads and bless us as we celebrate them. Amen. You can go back and sit. You can go back and sit with your parents now.
Today we celebrate Father's Day, but more importantly, we also celebrate child dedication. We have two little children in our midst today whom we want to lift up. One is Zara, and I'm going to read the whole name only once. Zara Kingsley Swift de Regeer Wiens. And her parents are David and Jacqueline Regevins. And her grandparents, and we want to include them this time as well, Dietelman Diana Regeer and John and Erica Wiens. And then there's William Zeke Martins Denishuk. parents, Aaron Denishuk and Carrie Martins, and the grandparents, Brian and Stella Denishuk, and Carol and Gary Martins. There's a saying, it takes a village to raise a child, and I would change it to say, it takes a church to bring up a child in faith. And in the church, we recognize that it does indeed take a community to raise a child. Today, we want to recognize three important groups: the congregation, the parents, and the grandparents. And so I address the congregation first. These parents have come to dedicate themselves and their children to the care and guidance of God. But this dedication goes beyond the parents and their children. It involves us all as a church family. This morning, we are invited to commit ourselves to be an example to these children and an encouragement to their parents in every situation that life may bring. We are called to commit ourselves to be an example to these children and an encouragement to the parents to support them as they raise their children in prayer and help and in understanding. Today we are telling these parents that they are not alone in their parenting. We, as a church family, will stand with them.
It's important that we respond. So I'd like to invite you to take the blue hymn book that you'll find in the rack in front of you. Turn to number 791, which is right at the back. And once you've found that, if you would please stand as a statement, and we'll read this together. Please stand. I invite you to join me as we read this commitment together. You have come to offer your child to the strong and tender providence of God. We rejoice with you and give thanks for the gift of your child. We promise with humility and seriousness to share in your child's nurture and well-being. We will support by our example and words your efforts to provide a loving and caring home where trust in God grows and Christ's way is chosen. Our prayers will be with you and for you. May our shared life and witness help make your task both joyful and fruitful. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the parents and the children, of course, and the grandparents to come and join us on stage. Maybe the grandparents can stand on either side of their children. Erica, we'll pull you right into the circle over here. You're important in this circle as well. Okay. I have a word to you as parents. As parents, you've already experienced the joy that a child can bring into your life, even if they keep you up all night. To be given the opportunity to guide the life of a child is an incredible compliment that God gives to you. Today, you are saying before God and before all of us here that you want to teach your children to know and love God the way that you do, so that one day they will choose to know and love God as well. By being here today, you are saying that you take seriously the task of guiding your children's lives in the way of God. There are several questions that we would like to ask that invite you to give affirmation to this.
Do you accept your child as a gift from God? If so, say, we do. Do you commit yourself to model in your lives the way of Jesus for the child to follow? If so, say, we do. Will you raise your child in the knowledge of God, teaching them the stories of God's love and invitation to life? If so, say, we will. So I have a word to the grandparents as well, to their Gers, the Weenses, the Denishucks, and Martinses. As grandparents, you have been given a very special gift in your grandchildren. In Proverbs 17, it says, "Grandchildren are like a crown to the elderly." I always think grandparents have the privilege of enjoying all the good stuff with their children and then hand them back to the parents when the bad stuff arrives. Along with the gift comes an important task. As grandparents, you are invited to model the way of Jesus for your grandchildren and all you say and all you do. You are invited to support your grandchildren's parents and pray for them in their task. And above all, you are invited to love your grandchildren. This means that you make time for them, enjoy them, and keep them in your prayers every day. The task of being a grandparent is one that can bring incredible joy. So, as grandparents, are you willing to commit yourself to loving your grandchildren, supporting your children, and modeling the way of Jesus in all of your life to the best of your ability? If so, respond together, "We are with God's help."
We are with God's help.
And I like to address the children as well, because of them we are here today. Children are special. They're special to their parents. They're special to their grandparents. And to all of us here, just the way they are. We are the church family, and they are part of us. Jesus tells us that we should not only care about them and try to help them, but that we need to learn from them as well. They are our teachers in how to love each other, to enjoy life, and to be open and eager to learn. Today we are promising them that we will do our best to encourage them to be all God meant them to be, and to teach them through what we say and what we do about God, who loves them very much. And may we be a reflection of that love. So,
I'd like to give you as parents a chance to introduce your children to the congregation, to their congregation.
Hi, everyone.
Just a moment, Bullock.
Yeah.
Good morning. So this is Zara, and as you can see, she's our third, and she's just been a total joy in our house. Our two other children, Sophia and Luca, probably smother her in love, I would say, every day, all day. And we have to have little breaks from being around Zara when it seems like she needs a little bit of personal space, which happens sometimes. She's loving bath time, loves to play in the water, which we're excited about because we spend a lot of time at the cottage in the summer, so hopefully that's in her genes already. And we're very happy that she's here and she's healthy, and we can really enjoy this time together when she's a baby.
I'll just say the same thing.
Hi, so this is Will. He's our first. As you can see, we don't have two other cuties. He's very special to us. His name is very special because it's a family name on both sides. So that's special. It's our dad's, not only Aaron's middle name, but both of our dad's middle name. Yeah. And he's a loud guy. Soon he'll be introducing himself. Yeah. He likes to talk. He also likes bath time. He doesn't want to, but he does. We think he'll be a little sassy guy.
Yes.
I would like to address the congregation as well. May the God who has brought these children into our congregation fill us with joy and hope to bring the children within this congregation. May we be open to all that God has to teach us through them. and the parents. May the God who has entrusted you with this child grant you love and parenting and faithfulness in modeling the way of God's kingdom. And I like to address the grandparents once again. May the God who has given you these special gifts fill you with love and joy as you hold your grandchildren's hand in the journey of life. And now, we'll come to the dedication itself. And may I have this little baby. Okay. There you go. No way. Ah, she's safe. People, this is Zara. Zara, these are your people. Yeah. Now, when I look at her, I would say she's perfect. Wouldn't you? When I look at her, I'd say she is a complete human being. Isn't that true? She's a person in her own right. Yet, at the same time, this child needs to grow and needs to change. Yes. If she didn't and remained like this all her life, her parents would be terribly upset. And all of us as well, it would be sad. And that, for me, is like an example for us to follow. We need to see life as an opportunity, a way where we can grow, can ask questions, even dare to fail. And when we make mistakes and fail, we can pick ourselves up because we know there are people who support us and love us, and we know that God is always keeping us into His hands. And now, Zara, may the God who has created you be with you. May He give you the opportunity to experience the love, and may you grow to be wise and compassionate and a child of God in your faith. Amen.
She's taking that all in.
Yeah.
Feels a little bit like Lion King here. Well, Will, this is your spiritual home. These are the people who have promised to pray for you and keep an eye on you. And even if you're noisy like your grandpa, they're going to love you. These are the people who have promised to walk with you. And these are the people who are going to teach you and lead you about what it means to follow Jesus, just like you teach them what it means to love and care for people and trust people. And now, Will, may the God who created you, who sent His Son to redeem you and the Holy Spirit to lead you, watch over you and keep you safe all of your life. May God enable you to know Him and seek Him and come to love Him as you grow older. Amen.
It takes a long time. I would like to invite those family members, friends who would like to participate in the prayer of dedication and blessing to join us up here.
Yeah. Step up a little bit.
I even got a smile from her.
You can stand in front, it's okay.
Thank you.
can stand in front is just fine.
So let us pray together. Gracious God, like a father who nurtures his children, you have cared for us. Like a mother, you have called us by name and claimed us as your own. You have loved us into being, placed us in human families, and blessed us on our journey. By the presence of your Spirit, consecrate these children, their parents and grandparents, Zara Kingsley Swift Regevins, her parents David and Jacqueline Regevins, and her grandparents Diethelm and Diana Reger, and John and Erica Weens, William Zeke Martins Denishuk, his parents Aaron Denishuk and Carrie Martins, his grandparents Brian and Stella Denishuk, and Carol and Gary Martins, for the journey together through life. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you, and may he be gracious to you. May God present God's presence, embrace you, and give you peace every day of your lives. Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets.
First of all your fathers here today, happy Father's Day. I hope you know that this is an honor and a privilege to be a father, to have a son or a daughter, or both, or several. There are people who share part of you, and they are for whom you strive, for whom you plan. You know, it's always amazing how people change when they become parents. I especially notice that in men. Today we talk about men. Women are very important. We celebrated Mother's Day a few weeks back, and so we should. But today we'll leave that part a little bit out, and we concentrate on the man, okay? I always see when young men, they tend to talk about enjoying life. Whatever that means and how they interpret that can be very different from one to the other. But what they do is they see the world in their own terms. And where it doesn't suit them, they do their darndest to make it suit them. And then when they become a father, suddenly they change. Actually, not that long ago, somebody mentioned, they said, I asked somebody, are you still seeing so-and-so? They used to be close friends in high school, and some years later, so time has passed, are you still seeing them? And they say, no, he has family now. And he is not the same guy. And I say, thank God. Because what you do when you have suddenly a child in your life, you think about what it means to be a father. And it changes your worldview. Things that seemed to be important before are not that important anymore. Things that took all your money and time and effort suddenly are not only secondary, they are anathema. They are no good. They are pushed aside because you now concentrate on your life. Things that you never paid attention to, like world events and politics and social and psychological happenings in your neighborhood and your city and your country, suddenly become important because you're talking about the future of your children and what world will they inherit. Your whole outlook on life changes. So, the Bible says in Exodus, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord has given to you. That's a start for a good Father's Day sermon, right? Honor your father and your mother, of course. But how is our relationship with our fathers? At its best, a father's love, however imperfect and rough around the edges, is a reflection of God's love for our life. As Jesus told his disciples in the text you just heard, who is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, being evil, know how to good give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So, how would you describe your Father? And if I would have the time and go around the benches and have each one of you say the first thing that pops into your mind when I say, your Father, what would it be? Some of them would be very happy memories. Some of them have long ago lost their fathers. And that's all right. On Father's Day, we still remember them. And other times, too. But there are other opportunities, other answers as well. Some people might have painful memories. Some people might reflect on Father's Day and say, my dad was never there. He was always gone. Have you heard that? Yes. Of course, they thought they were expressing their love by working 16 hours a day. So they never saw their children. They didn't have the time to tuck them into bed. They didn't have the time to play with them. But they provided the necessities of life. And that was their expression of love. Now that may be imperfect. And for some men, it's very difficult to show that they love somebody. You know, when I grew up, it was not just my father, I think everybody else's father that I knew as a child, had a very hard time ever saying something good to their children. We heard every time we made a mistake, we heard about it. And we were told straight out, young. Boy, don't you know better? Don't you know how to do this? How many times do I have to show you? Yes, we heard that many a time. But if you did something right and you waited for acknowledgement, it didn't come. The best thing I remember as a boy when I really mastered a very difficult situation, my dad watching me the whole time, he didn't help me. He just watched to see if I could handle it. And once I did, he just nodded. That was it, not a word. That was the highest praise I ever got from him. Some people have difficulty expressing love, expressing appreciation. So on this Father's Day, you may reflect on those things and say, well, it wasn't always that great. And sometimes men have difficulties because, yes, we are, there's a generational thing. We learned behavior when we were little, and we never had time to reflect and refine it. You know, somebody once told me when I took education as a student that a person learns the basic things in life, and they hardly ever change, in the first 5 years of their life. And I wanted to question that. And I thought it was terrible that I should have learned all there is to know, basically, about life by the time I was 5. Why did I go to school 20 years? But all that schooling doesn't change the fact that your basics are learned from your parents. The values of your life. And how often have you heard the phrase, he is just like his father? Have you said that once? You heard it all, right? He's just like his father. Sometimes that is said with pride. He's just like his father. But more often, especially if it's the wife of the mother of a boy, when she says, he is just like his father, it's more exasperation, I think. He hasn't learned to be better than his father. Yes, and we now, when we remember our fathers and being sons, no matter how old we are, we have the opportunity to grow. I said earlier today, it would be sad if that child would not grow and change, right? And we expect that. And it would be terrible if it wasn't so. But why do we take it with nonchalance that we as adults do not learn and grow? Are we not children of God who need to know and grow in the ways of God? Can we go beyond our own ego and the ways we are wired? As a female colleague once used to say, and she liked that phrase, every time a man did something that wasn't right in her eyes, she would say, it's a Y chromosome. Okay, you guys, it's a Y chromosome. It shall excuse many things, right? And then there's a maturity factor. Parents, when they have first their children, they're usually quite young. I know, in my case, I was in my 20s still. And what did I know about parenting? Nothing. I had to learn from scratch. Well, I learned a little bit from my parents, but I didn't necessarily want to follow everything that I learned there. So I wanted to develop my understanding and appreciation. And you know what? When the chips are down, you fall back into the old habits. And the bottom line is, we don't live in a perfect world. Most fathers fall somewhere between average to poor. If your father was exceptional, consider yourself a lucky person. Most fathers are average. Regardless, if your father was nearly perfect in every way, or just the opposite, now is a good time to cut him some slack. At this age and stage of life, the best gift we can give our fathers and Father's Day is a gift of forgiveness. And with it, a healthy dose of genuine gratitude. Most fathers have done the very best that they knew how to do. So if you're holding some bitter feelings because your father hurt you or failed you in some way, now's the time to get over it and go on. Focus on what he did for you, or tried to do. And know this, you carry his genes, and I don't mean the pants. You carry his personal makeup, so it is up to you what you will do with that. No father, as we heard, will give his son a stone instead of bread, or a snake instead of fish. So if we are imperfect, learn as a child learns from his parents or her parents, learn from Jesus what life really should be like in all its abundance. If you ask for it, he says. One of the greatest teachings of fatherhood I find in the parable of the prodigal son. You know it as well as I do. I won't repeat it. As far as I know, it's Gary's preferred passage in the Bible, right? I've heard it at least twice or three times since I'm good. I love it too. The father has two sons. One was faithful and true and served his father well. He was like a devoted servant. And the other was wild and reckless and rebelled against his father. Now prepare yourself, fathers. It might happen with your children too. And he did all sorts of shameful things and discredited his father's good name. Yet in spite of everything, the father loved them both in equal measure. And when the wild and reckless son came home, He greeted him with open arms and rejoiced that he had come to his senses. What's more, he threw a big party, and he invited everyone to attend, especially his brother, to let bygones be bygones and live together in peace and harmony as a family. Jesus wanted us to know this is the nature of a father's love, that we give room even for those who go astray and open our arms to receive them when they come home. Ideally, a father's love is a reflection of God's love. It's grace-filled, merciful, forgiving, patient, kind, and most importantly, unconditional. Not something you earn by doing and saying the right things, but a gift that's given freely and will never, ever be taken away. God's most dramatic expression of a father's love came at the moment, as John 3:16 puts it, when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God in Christ, Jesus, laid down his life for the sins of the whole world. He gave his life to redeem us from all fallen nature and reconcile us to God and to each other. And through faith in him, we are able, as children of the Heavenly Father and heirs of the eternal kingdom, as Paul puts it in his letter to the Romans, "You did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him." And to the Corinthians he says, God says, he reflects what Samuel told the people of Israel, "I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will be to you a father. You will be to me sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." 2 Corinthians 6. As fathers, we want the best for our children. We want them to be successful. We want them to be adjusted. We want them to be happy. We want them to be responsible citizens and contributing members of society. Most importantly, we want them to be men and women of faith, to know for themselves the love of God and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When it's all said and done, the gift of faith is the greatest gift a father can give his children, to help them know that beyond all the hopes and fears and uncertainty of this mortal life, God will be with them to give them the gift of life in abundance through faith in Jesus Christ. It's the ultimate expression of a father's love. So let me end with a benediction from the book of Jude. It says there, "Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory and great joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen."
Would you join me in singing "I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say," number 493 out of the Blue Hymnal? And would you stand, please, and then maybe remain standing as the choir sings its last song.
May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Those of you that would like to sit, please do so.